coming to you live from my apartment. It's Robinson Podcast, and now here's the guy who never podcasts without first participating in Coach Chi, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cesternino, and I'm joined by Nicole.
Hello. You had a hard time spitting that one out.
Yeah, I didn't know whether I want to. Sometimes I'm like winging it. I'm like, I just spit something out.
Yeah, poor brain.
Sometimes it's just gonna wing it.
Yeah.
So yeah, always must do Coach Chi before I podcast.
Always.
It helps me center myself, and then
I wish you could see what he's doing right now.
It helps me center my chi.
Yeah. Ooh, sounds dirty
for podcasting because I saw how good it helped Survivor Cochran do in the immunity challenge when he did Coach Chi.
Wah, wah.
So I helped him. And that's what I like to do. That's how I make these podcasts so good. That's the secret. Coach Chi.
Imagine how much better they could be if you didn't do it.
What? I think you're missing the point of what I'm saying.
Nope.
All right. So very big show today. Of course, we have, let's not bury the lead.
Yes.
Survivor Cochran is out. It's a rare taboo buzzer appearance.
Buzz.
Yeah. So sorry, Survivor Cochran. It did not work out for you. But I know people are very quick to jump all over Survivor Cochran.
I think he won though. I think he won. He's got everybody talking. He's going to be remembered for all of Survivor days.
Yeah. If
he made a name,
if maybe it turns out the $1 million prize was not what, John Cochran was out for after all, maybe we might look back at this and say he was the winner.
Winning.
Winning. Yeah. According to Charlie Sheen, I think he's winning.
I think he is winning. Yes.
If it comes down to who has the most Twitter followers after this.
Yeah. Well, if Charlie Sheen thinks you're winning, you're losing.
So, okay. Well, we've got a very big show today.
Yes.
We're going to have a lengthy conversation with Jonathan Penner.
Yes.
In this podcast. Now,
but not everybody.
Not everybody. All right. Things went a little bit differently today. Jonathan Penner could only talk early in the afternoon. Nicole, as many of you know, works nights.
Mm-hmm.
She worked last night.
And the night before.
Okay.
And
that's only two out of those three. And anyway, so she came home in the morning. We did the podcast with Whitney and Dawn, which was very good.
It was great. It was a great podcast.
That was very good. So Nicole went to sleep, and then a little bit after that, I talked to Jonathan Penner.
Right.
So coming up in a couple of minutes, we are going to play for you in its entirety,
mm-hmm.
My conversation with Jonathan Penner.
Yes, you're a very lucky man.
And it was very good. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy with it. I think even better than the previous Penner podcast.
I think I need to quit my job.
Penner a la Cochran.
I need to quit my job. It's really interfering with the podcasting schedule.
Yeah. Okay.
Nursing done.
Let's not do anything rash, okay?
I'm putting in my 2 weeks.
unless people start doing a lot more shopping on Amazon.com. Let's not do anything rash.
Come on,
okay?
People, shop, so I can quit.
Okay, well, now that you're talking about it, thank you to everybody who has been getting their holiday shopping started early using the Amazon.com link on Rob Has a Website. We very much appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
Thank you for being so much in the holiday spirit.
And those of you who have not, stop being so cheap.
Don't be a Scrooge. Don't be a Scrooge.
Get to shopping.
Okay. So if there's not anything else, so let's go ahead. Let's get into Jonathan Penner. I'm very happy with the way this turned out.
Oh, good. Because I wasn't there?
No, because I think that Penner was on his A game,
mm-hmm.
and this was very good. The last Penner podcast was in April of 2010.
He was one of the first guests we had.
And I have to check with the interns on this. This may be the longest gap in between appearances in the history of Rob as a podcast.
Oh my god!
It's either him or Maraska.
I think Maraska might have been longer.
We'll have to see. Get interns, get on this. And without further ado, here is Jonathan Penner. All right, I'm very excited to have on the line here a man who is making his second Rob has a podcast appearance. None other than our favorite and your favorite, Jonathan Penner. Jonathan, are you there?
That's crowd noise. I'm here. Hello.
Jonathan, how are you?
Fans. I'm great, man. Here, we had a windy, windy night. It's a windy day in Los Angeles. There were trees down everywhere. I felt like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz or something.
Well, maybe it was the Survivor gods were just up in arms over Survivor Cochran taking the fall last night.
Well, was he really surprised? It's funny. It reminded me, obviously, the first time I played. Well, not obviously, but, for those of you that remember, the first time I played, I was in a similar situation where I flopped and helped one group that was not the group I was then aligned with to attain power. And then they, they used me for as long as they needed me, and then they cut me off because I wasn't part of their original group. In fact, they had felt betrayed by me. And, Cochran, as a student of the game, shouldn't have been surprised that was going to happen. Coach will get his vote anyway. I assume Coach is going to march on because it's a game of personality. It's a social game. And why they don't vote off Coach right now, it's because he's in control and they all like him. That's the thing. They all want to be aligned with him. They can't see them getting together and chopping off the Papa Bear. So the easiest person to chop off, of course, was Cochran, because he was the last in, first out.
Here's why I'm so excited to talk to you today. We really have you here in the right place in the right time. When we first said, okay, let's get Jonathan on, well, I told you, we asked people, who do you want to hear from the most? You came in number one on the popularity poll.
Dude, so how many people did you poll? It was you and your wife.
It was over 100. It was over 100.
No, nice. Well, folks, thank you. And I hope I don't disappoint for my next in this conversation. I'll try to be as intelligent as possible.
And so I had said, okay, well, this is great. We talked to Penner because Ozzy is on, and you've played with Ozzy two times. Last time we talked to you when Parvati was on the show, and she had played with you two times. But then all this Cochran stuff comes up, and we have Cochran, who's in a similar position to you were at the time of the mutiny, and we can get you to weigh in on all of this. And not only this, I'm looking at John Cochran's bio on CBS.com, and they asked him, what Survivor contestant are you most like? Do you know what he said?
No.
He said, I have some of the humor of Rob Cesternino, the candor of Jonathan Penner, and the intelligence of Yul Kwan.
Wow. He sounds like he should have won.
You would think so.
He sounds like an amazing player. instead of going home on day 30.
Yeah.
Well, listen, he is obviously a bright guy. He does not have his downfall. Ultimately, there's no downfall. He went very far in the game. Mm-hmm. He was never going to win the game. That was obvious. He's not a physical player at all. You, me, and Yul all had some kind of physical game going,
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, right? So, we were not challenge monsters. Maybe you were, but, I certainly wasn't.
Me.
But what's that?
That's me, yes. Challenge
that's
monster.
You, challenge monster. which monster it is another. But we all had some kind of physical game, and we all had some kind of social game. Whereas Cochran, he must have some social game too, but at least in the edit, he's Woody Allen. He's this nebbish guy with this, sunken chest and this pale skin and, terrible pimples. And he comes across as a guy that most of the men on that show anyway would beat up, and most of the girls would not look twice on, mm-hmm. or if they did, it was to spit. And so that makes it very, very hard for a guy like that. And obviously he's one of these guys who survived in school. He's super bright, clearly, as a kind of wise ass and a kind of, best friend or buddy or something. And then he'd go home and he'd sort of plot how to get the girl, how to get his revenge on these bastards who beat him up.
Mm-hmm.
So he went out there, he played a big game, had a big mouth, and had a lot of fun, I'm sure. Did he ever have a chance of winning that game? Absolutely not.
Well, here's another way that I think, his game is similar to your game. I think that both of you guys are the straw that stirs the drink, where all of the conversation going on in this season is about Cochran and what he's doing and what he's up to. And I think that was very similar to you in the Cook Islands.
Yeah. I'm sure you're right. Some of it is that the other folks, as they were on the Cook Islands, are as dull as dishwater. You know, I mean, Rick last night, first off, I found out that he could actually speak.
Yes.
You know, I think he spoke for the first time since episode 2 or something. And it was only so that there was one little fake out, like maybe he was going to get voted off or something, you know, or they realized, oh, yeah, there's this guy here that, you know, from the Village People or wherever the hell he's from, that we need to, you know, we need to acknowledge that he actually has a pulse and can talk. Most of them are unbelievably boring, and they're playing a fair game. You know, they're playing the loyalty game, which says I'd rather go to the end or go really far with coach or with some, you know, somebody in a leadership position. That's further than I would have gone if I hadn't simply been loyal to my tribe, and I'm going to get the chop at some point. Whereas Cochran was like, I mean, I assume he's smart enough to know he was never going to win. So it's like all he had to do is have as much fun as possible, make some big moves. And that's why people are talking about him, because he was never going to be content to just sit there and be somebody's buona. You know, he was never going to be somebody's bully. And neither was I. I always felt, at least that first time that I played, you know, I overthought. I played too hard and fast. But I was really out there to have a great time, and I always assumed that if I had thought of a move or if I was thinking of doing something, somebody else had thought of it too. Mm-hmm. And I was going to be the one to do it first. I was deathly afraid of getting the chop, of being blindsided. That never happened. I always knew exactly how the vote was going to go. But you know, people became very, very suspicious, rightly or wrongly, that I was plotting or I was always thinking, because I was always thinking. I wasn't satisfied to say, well, we'll just see how it goes, or anybody but me on this vote, or, you know, I know exactly who I'm sticking with, and I'll stick with them to the bitter end. Because in the end, you are bitter. If it's not you who wins, you're kind of bitter, right? You're pissed off. And you always got to point the finger at somebody else to some degree, and you point the finger at yourself to a large degree. It's your fault you didn't win. But only one person can win, so go out and have as much fun as you can, and that's why I admire what Cochran's doing. I'm not sure, you know, he played the best game he could have, but we're talking about him. We've spent the last 10 minutes talking about him. They talked about him in the show. And yet he's a guy who went out, you know, 12th or 13th or something, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. And I've been talking about him for much more than 10 minutes this season. We've been spending a lot
this
of time.
This season?
Yeah.
Well, what do you make of him and his game and what's been going on?
Well, a lot of people have been within the last 24 hours since he's been off the show as, see, we said this was a bad idea. And because he's out now, then this was a terrible move, and it was dumb, and it was the dumbest thing ever. And I just don't agree that it was such a terrible idea for him, because I don't think he was ever in a great position the other way. And he made a move, and it worked initially, but I think he was more doomed by not making more moves after that. Just like, okay, I voted with you guys, take me with you, turned out to not be a good plan at all. But I think that there could have been room to maneuver after the merge, which ultimately he wasn't capable of getting to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think, of course, I do think it's very, very hard out there. You know, you want to be allied with somebody. You want to feel some degree of safety, you know, and making it is very hard to just keep shifting things around. There is only so much daylight that you can kind of find with people, because, as I say, most of them are just locked into their alliance, you know, do or die. And he made a move that kept him alive longer than the folks that he worked against. Would he have gotten voted out sooner? Probably not. He would have gotten voted out at the same point. Mm-hmm. You know, if Jim and Ozzy and whatever the cute guy's name is, you know, were still there, and the two women who now went home were still there. You know, he would have been low man on that totem pole too. Mm-hmm. So maybe he could have pulled, you know, something together. It's very, very hard, as you know. It's very, very hard, and that's why it's like, you know, he's a guy without any a real allegiance, but nobody has an allegiance to him either. You know, it's funny, when I flopped and started working with Yul and Ozzy and Becky and Sundra, I never said to them, you know, Yul had said to me, look, I think that, you know, I want to take you to the final two. Remember that season, Cook Islands was the first year they had a final three. Mm-hmm. We were surprised. You know, he's like, I want to take you to the final two because, I know I can beat you, essentially. And I bought that, right? Stupidly. I bought that, even though I knew that he was really aligned with Becky. I was willing to believe, because I needed to believe that I was going to go further in the game with them. I needed to believe that he was going to take me, you know, that far, or that together, because he was my closest ally at that point in the game, that we could work together. But even if I'd said to him, or him and those other three guys, promise me you're going to take me to at least five, promise me, they might have done it. I got voted out, I think, 13th instead of 15th, right? Mm-hmm. If I had said, you know, promise me you're going to take me that far, maybe I would have gone a little further. But there's no lawyers out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's nobody holding anybody to anybody's word. You make the moves that you got to make, and somebody's going to get betrayed and somebody isn't. And as I say, everybody feels a little bit bitter in the end because, well, shit, you voted me off, or you voted me and not them, or you promised me this, that, and the other thing. That's the name of the game, you know. Cochran set out to make Survivor history. Cochran set out to be a part of Survivor. He said that from the first day he got there. I want to be considered with, I mean, I know he mentioned my name. He mentioned a couple of other names, you know, guys that are talked about as if, you know, their last name is the only name, as opposed to guys who have nicknames like Chicken or Coach. He could have said that too. What would his nickname have been? Geek or something, you know. Call me Geek. You know, he said, call me Cochran. I want to be part of history. And he knew something I never thought about when I went out to play. But he said, I got to make big moves. I'm not going to let a stone determine my fate. You know, I'm here to play Survivor. And let's play Survivor as big as we can play it, even if I get the chopped. Mm-hmm. You know, because the chances of him getting asked to play again, the chances of him getting talked about, like we're talking about him, or you have to make moves, and you have to have a big personality to do that. Rick, I'm sure, in the room when they met with him and Mark Burnett said, yeah, I want this guy, he didn't sit there like a lump. He must have said something, you know, to make them say, well, hell, this guy has a good personality. He could make good TV. They edited around him. Cochran is not the only guy that can spin a tail out there, you know. Mm-hmm. But he's the guy who made the biggest moves, and that's why they've edited almost solely for him this season. Him, Ozzy, and Coach, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. And I think much like a younger Jonathan Penner, you know, deciding to mutiny, being the straw that stirs the drink, three seasons later, here he is back out there. And I wouldn't be surprised in the least if this is not the last time we see Cochran on one of these Survivor seasons.
Yeah, I mean, if there's going to be anybody from this season that they bring back, unless it's some super-duper freaking all-stars, where I have to assume the game is in Coach's hands at this point. I'm usually wrong, but at this point, he does seem to have it wrapped up. Mm-hmm. And you know, unless Ozzy can come back and simply dominate. But even if he does, he's not going to get the jury votes that he needs. He could argue for the jury votes and say, look, I hung in there, I made it back, I fought you all off, and I deserve to win. Maybe logically they'd vote for him the way that maybe logically they could have voted for what's his name, Gruesome Russell.
Yes.
But they probably won't, because they don't really like Ozzy. They think he's arrogant. And Coach has made friends out there. But we'll see how that plays out. I'm of course interested to see how it plays out. But I think that Cochran could easily go back and play again, you know, in a much more savvy kind of fashion. I'm sure he's learned a lot from the experience out there, and certainly from the experience of watching himself and being talked about. You know, it'll mature you, if nothing else. How old is he? I don't even know. 30 years old? 25?
No,
I don't know.
He's 24, according to his bio.
24 years old. So he's a kid. I mean, to my way of looking at things, you know, he's a child. And, well, he's not a child, but he's, you know, this is a big experience for him, and it's gonna change him and humble him, I'm sure. It's going to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had him on here yet?
No, not yet. I expect to talk to him next week when I fully expect Ozzy to eliminate him on Redemption Island. In really the ultimate Survivor story of David versus Goliath. Has there ever been any sort of mismatch?
Aren't you rooting for him?
Of course.
I mean, in spite of yourself, isn't everybody out there saying, damn, you know what? of course it's got to be Ozzy, but what if he won? Wouldn't that be fantastic? What a turn of events if he could actually beat Ozzy. I hope he does. I can't see it, but I'm pulling for it. You're always pulling for an underdog.
And this would be the biggest of all the underdogs. Forget the Jets against the Colts Super Bowl III. Forget USA versus Russia 1980. The Giants,
the
Giants against the Patriots in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. This would be the upset of all upsets.
How awesome! What challenge could they throw at these two guys that Cochran could possibly have a shot at?
Well,
go ahead.
I've been saying keep my fingers crossed for the Sunday New York Times crossword puzzle.
Yeah, exactly. Great philosophers of ancient Egypt or something. I don't know. That's funny. Well, it could be, right? Yeah, maybe. It seems to be these sort of balance and endurance kinds of things, you know, or put a stuff that women could conceivably win. And of course, this is, and Ozzy's right, this is where he absolutely thrives. I mean, he's mm-hmm. really extraordinary out there, and you just can't bet against him in an individual a challenge like that.
Yeah.
What do you think of Ozzy's game this year?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. I have not been too impressed with Ozzy's game this time around. I don't know if Ozzy peaked on the Cook Islands or on fans versus favorites of exactly where the sweet spot of his game was, but he never really seemed to have a finger on the pulse of what was going on in his tribe, and then he voted himself out, which I did not like. And, you know, it finally seems like he's at home on Redemption Island, where all he has to do is win challenges and not strategize, but he still seems to be taking shots at the jury members every time he sees them, which is not good either.
But you're hitting the nail on the head. I mean, you know, he really is happiest, essentially, alone and in his element. He's not a social guy. You know, he's not an unintelligent guy, and he's not an antisocial guy, but his real, you know, sense of self and sense of worth, my take on it, and I know him a little bit, is, you know, I can dive from a higher place, I can dive deeper, longer, hold my breath, I can do these quite extraordinary things. I mean, I was there firsthand to see it, and he actually taught me a lot about living out there, to which I'm grateful for him, you know. But playing that social game, which Coach really seems to have keyed in on this time, you know, I assume if it was out there, they would show it to us, his really nutty, nutty, outrageous talk and prognostications and, you know, bullshit tales of running from snakes and Indians in the Amazon or whatever the hell he was talking about. You know, he's dialed that way down and is really playing a kind of, I am the master, I will take you guys far game, and succeeding at it, you know, to his credit. And Ozzy, as you say, has never really been able to dial into playing a social game, being the leader that he obviously is, at least in their eyes, and being sort of a benevolent leader instead of an arrogant leader. You know, he really feels entitled to, this is the sense that I get, that he feels entitled to be treated with more respect, to go further, to, you know, to do better. Why he feels that way, I don't know, but he does. You know, I always called him the prince from the Cook Islands. And you know, he hasn't learned from the first episode when he was ogling that crazy girl's boobs, or those crazy boobs on that girl, you know, whatever her, you remember who I'm talking about?
Yes,
the poet.
Semhar.
What was her name?
Semhar.
Yeah, of course it was Semhar. You know, I mean, listen, obviously they couldn't wait to get rid of her. She must have been as nutty as a nutfish, you know, and he was like, maybe I can cuddle up on that. You know, he just really does not have his head in the social game at all. But it'll be interesting to see him, I assume, defeat Cochran. They'll reintroduce him to the game now, next episode or the episode after. When do you think?
Well, last time they did it, after they got to the final four, they brought somebody back. So it was like in the first act of the finale. That was when they brought somebody back. So there was then five people left.
Right. Interesting. They bring him back. There's one. Coach still has an idol. Is that right?
Right.
He can only use it. He could use it at that point. Somebody's going to win individual immunity. I mean, Ozzy would just have to win every challenge.
Yeah.
That's the problem with this Redemption Island system, right? Has anyone ever been brought back into the game and not been voted out immediately?
No. The two times they've brought somebody back, they were voted out immediately.
Right. You know, I guess in an ideal situation, things would be in so much flux when they brought the person back in that additional vote could win one group or another dominance in the game.
Yeah.
Right. But it just doesn't play out that way. By the time you get to these junctures in the game, the lines have been pretty well delineated and people are already, you know, allied strongly with one side or another, I think.
Yeah. I agree. I think it almost doesn't make sense to bring somebody back at five when you have a final three. Because let's say, Coach has Albert and Sophie, and maybe Rick is left, okay? Or so let's just use Rick, for example, even though he's probably the worst person to use for this example. So Ozzy comes back into the game, and Coach has his arms around Albert and Sophie and says, hey, it's the three of us to the end. And Ozzy comes back and says, hey, Rick, me and you, we got it. All we have to do is get one other person. But the other two aren't going anywhere because they are assured of being in the final three with Coach. So unless Ozzy wins the immunity, it's a bad time to bring somebody back.
Right. No, I totally agree. So maybe they'll have learned that lesson. What if they bring him back in when there are five already so that conceivably, well, what do you get? Then you get three and three?
Yeah.
At best,
see,
he's part of a four and two, and then he's the first gone on the four unless he wins the immunity. I mean, you know, it's an experiment. This Redemption Island, and maybe it's a good one, maybe it's not.
Maybe
it certainly
not.
Lets them, save money on locations, right? Because one challenge a week always takes place in the Redemption Arena, whatever they call it.
Yes.
You know, and that challenge is scaled much, much smaller. You know, in seasons past, you have two challenges an episode, and they're big, full-scale challenges with everybody involved. Mm-hmm. How much of their decision to do this was budgetary? How much of it was ideological? I have no idea.
Yeah. It would make sense if you were just looking at a sheer production point of view to bring him back next week, say, the winner of this, and then have somebody come back at seven, and then if it's, you have three and three, say it's Coach Albert and Sophie on one side, and Brandon, Edna, and Rick on one side, you could bring him back, but...
Well, that would be cool. So who would it be? So Brandon will never work with Ozzy.
Right.
I mean, let's say, and it's easy for us to do their job for him, it's already done and in the can, but to take 2 seconds, if they were smart enough to do what you just proposed, bring him back in at seven, it would be Coach. Edna's already moved off, so it would be Edna and Ozzy. It would be Coach and Brandon. Rick is an open vote, I assume.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah. Who are the other two?
Albert and Sophie.
Coach, Albert, and Sophie. I don't know. I don't know. I don't see Ozzy pulling any of those folks over.
No. See, this Sophie, I think, is the one holding all the cards, even more than Coach. Like, I know Coach talks the most, but I don't know. That you saw Coach, he seemed genuine that he would have liked to have kept Cochran around. I don't think it was all for show.
And, I'm sure you're right.
And I think that Albert sort of wouldn't have minded keeping Cochran around. But the only person we saw on the episode last night who had anything negative to say about Cochran was this Sophie. And she's, I don't care about this Cochran. I don't like him. He thinks he made a good move. I think it was stupid. And for some reason, she wants to keep the status quo. She doesn't want any shakeups here. She wants to keep the plan as it is. And I think that she's feeling very, whatever her plan is, and we don't know she feels like she has Coach dead to rights in the finals, or she's going to get rid of Coach at the right moment. But she seems very confident about where she is, and I can't disagree.
Well, you know, certainly, unless, I mean, Coach can play his idol up to what, four, up to five.
I think it's one before the finals. I think that he can't play it for the final.
You know, so
the final
he's in
meeting.
There. He's in there almost as a lock at this point, I think. You know, so it's him and her and who? And
Albert.
Get rid, you know, And so neither one of those guys can beat Coach in a jury vote, I don't believe. Mm-hmm. You know, he simply outplayed them, or at least that's the perception of the edit. They may be able to argue otherwise, that they were, in fact, the power behind the, you know, all the moves, but no one's going to believe that. And so, you know, she I think that it was really Coach who realized that Cochran, forgive me, Coach, but I think he realized that Cochran was getting a lot more attention, essentially, that Cochran was needed to be done away with. He was going to get Cochran's vote anyway. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, by not flopping and voting off Rick Rick. He maintained the integrity of that group and would be able to say, I stayed true the whole way through and voted with all of you, and he was the one who was the nicest to Cochran, and I think he'll get Cochran's vote. I mean, that's, you know, I think it was the smarter play. I'm not sure I would have done the same thing, but in hindsight, I think that he made the smart move. You know, Cochran was last to the party and needed to be the first one gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this coach, though, you know, I've been thinking about how Boston Rob did it at this point last season. And what Rob did, which was, I think, you know, the best thing he did all season, was he only kept around the people that he knew that he could beat. And I think the only two people left to have a chance to beat Coach are either Albert and Sophie. But it seems to me like these are the two guys that Coach wants to go to the end with.
Well, maybe not. Maybe we're going to find out. Or maybe he's thinking, I'm not sure how much of a thinker he is, but maybe he's thinking, look, Ozzy's coming back into this game. I need somebody here who's loyal to me, who will have a chance of beating Ozzy. Because if Ozzy marches all the way to the end, winning challenges, he has a chance of beating me in a jury vote. I don't think he will, but you know, that might be interesting. If Ozzy can actually go all the way to the end with no support, only because he's won all the individual immunities and can't get voted out, well, shit, he'll have a pretty strong argument for why he should win the game.
Yeah,
whether he can get the jury to vote that way or not, as I said, I'm not sure. But maybe that's in Coach's mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's very interesting. You know, I listened to the last podcast that we did this week. Because I wanted to make sure I didn't ask you any questions I've already asked you. But two, I felt like it was very good, and I enjoyed it. But we were talking during Heroes and Villains, and you had a lot to say about Russell Hance. You called him a ghoul.
Yes, rightly so.
Yes. Quite a bit.
Anything else intelligent I said?
Yeah, quite a bit. But I'm interested to know what you think of Russell's nephew, Brandon Hance, and where he's at in the game.
Well, I mean, again, he has no chance of winning. He's a great TV character who stopped becoming interesting when he found his home. You know, as he said last night, he's not going to go anywhere. He's loyal to this group, do or die. You know, he's an interesting character. He's a troubled guy that holds Delilah and Samson and I'm a married man. And, you know, I mean, what a nutcase. But, I mean, you're only out there for 35 days. You've got cameras, 39 days. You've got cameras everywhere. What are you talking about? What are you going to do? Touch a tit? You know, you're gonna kiss a. I don't know what's on his mind that, you know, that she was tempting him. So I think he's an addled guy. He's got a strange brain. And you know, listen, nothing against Russell's family, but they obviously, you know, met him and didn't just cast him because he had Hance as a last name. They cast him because he was a lunatic in his own right. You know, what's going on in the Hance family? I have no idea. He's gone very far, but as I say, he hasn't played nearly the game that Russell played, and he's a very different kind of character. I've never met either of these guys, so I don't know anything about him except what I'm seeing on TV. And you know, one of the best things about Survivor as a show, and certainly, and tell me how you feel or how you found it, but the hardest thing about Survivor as an experience was dealing with people that you would never deal with in your regular life. And I'm not, you know, mostly that you would never encounter in your regular life, right? Cochran would never encounter this guy and vice versa. but you're literally locked on a desert island and have to play nice with somebody that you would consider an absolute freak, a ghoul, a creep, you know, as I'm sure he considers Cochran. Like, what a, you know, he must think Cochran's a psychopath or a nut or, you know, from Mars or something. And so that's where it gets very, very painful, actually, out there. You know, for me, it was very, very difficult because the, you know, the, and maybe I said this the last time, but, you know, we are in a position as adults that we've gotten rid of most of the people that we don't want to deal with in our lives. You know, unless somebody's breaking into your house or unless you wind up in some kind of altercation in road rage or something like that, you just don't deal with these folks for the most part. I'm knocking on wood that says I can continue in my happy bubble that I have earned the right to be in, you know. And if you put yourself out on the island in Survivor, they are going to put you in a situation, in a petri dish, with other folks, you know, who essentially were in the same plane when it crashed. And how do you get along with these folks? And so, you know, watching this guy, Hance, who's a conflicted, born-again Christian or something, I'm not quite clear, watching Cochran praying in a prayer circle and literally paying lip service to what's being said, you know, it pained him to have to say amen, to pretend he believed in that he was part of that group. It to me, that was painful to watch, you know. So Hance, I don't know, we'll probably see somebody named Hance in every episode of every season to follow because they clearly made great TV. I don't know, would your nephew or your uncle be as good TV as these guys?
Unlikely.
Same with me. You know, they're just, you know, I don't know, man. I can't believe there's not a reality show just called Hance and you just see the whole family and watch them doing whatever the hell they're doing. I mean, it must be quite exciting at you know, the old homestead of the Hanses.
Maybe they could do, like, I see, like, this Basketball Wives and Real Housewives, and maybe just get, like, Hance Wives. That could be, like,
Real
a new
Hance
show.
Wives, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Put that on Bravo.
In Hance, yeah. Well, I mean, they hit the gold mine when they cast Russell, and, you know, who knows if we've seen the last of him. How many times has he played now? Three times. In, like, four seasons or something?
Yeah, at one point, 3 out of 4.
Yeah, so, you know, you just can't get enough of that guy, but he was so toxic that if he ever showed up on the island again, I'm sure they'd handle him the way they handled him the last time, which is like, goodbye, Russell. You know, I don't even want you around me. Again, it's too painful to have a little Napoleon, little with those hairy feet. You know, it's like a hobbit, like a... He is, ghoul is the word that I keep thinking of, some kind of woodland creature. You know, a stumpy-looking guy, you know, out there, and you just don't want to be around that kind of toxic personality. It's just too horrible.
In regards to Brandon Hance, you know, he had another outburst at Tribal Council. For whatever reason, Tribal Council really gets him very stirred up. And the outburst last night concerned, like, hey, there's no gray here. It's black or white. It's right. Where... that there's the five of us and there's no gray area, which I find horrifying as a person and as a former Survivor player, that the whole game is a gray area. If you're dealing in black or white, that's no way to play this game. It's all about flexibility.
Well, but you know, now we're coming to end of times for him, you know. He played, there's no black or white, and this is my group, do or die, and they took him very, very far, and now he's still saying there's no black or white, and obviously, at least based on the edit of you know, coming next week on Survivor, you know, they're saying, okay, well, so one of us has got to go, and this guy's the most toxic nut in the camp, so maybe it should be him, you know, And that would make sense. Why not? Again, you know, at a certain point, you just don't want jerks around you. Somebody's got to go. He's a nut. Time for him to go. Let's just keep it easy and light in the camp.
But I disagree. I think that he's the guy I most want around if I'm any of these people. He you have him sitting next to you in the final tribal council, and somebody looks at him wrong, and he's like, hey, you don't get to look at me like that. I said on day one, I'm doing this, and you can't tell me what to do. And this guy is great to have at the end with you.
Well, but that's only if they can get rid of Coach and Ozzy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I guess you're right. They need him to vote off Coach. Will he do that?
No.
No. Right? So somehow, you know, Albert needs to, and
Sophie.
What's her name? Sophie need to break away somehow, realize, okay, Rick, we need to get rid of Coach. We can't do it because he has the idol. Maybe we can get the idol played. I just don't see that happening. I don't. I mean, maybe that if they're going to make that move, they have to make it next week.
Well,
you know, they have. Otherwise, they just run out of time.
You're right. And here's the best thing that Coach has going for him. And I don't know if this is by design or what, but the people that would need to get together to get Coach out of the game don't like each other. That you have Albert, all he's doing is complaining about Edna, that all she does is the laundry. And then Edna and Rick are complaining about Albert, that they call him Prince Albert. He just sits on his ass. He doesn't do anything. Albert says Rick is dumb. He doesn't like him. So none of these people, nobody can work with Brandon because he's not going to do anything that's duplicitous to Coach.
Exactly.
Everybody is going to hold form here until the end because they can't get their act together.
Yeah, so that's his plan, essentially. He's the center of all of that. And, you know, it's worked out so far, and yes, one of us has to go home, and who's it going to be? It sure ain't going to be him. That's all. And, you know, maybe they should get rid of Brandon. He's a logical guy. Any of them are logical at this point. There's nowhere left to hide. And, you know, you got to win immunity. He's already got immunity, and he's running the show. And as you say, I just don't see any of them giving up the one guy that they really like or who makes them feel good and comfortable to work with each other because their chances of going further are actually diminished. I mean, it's probably going to be Sophie and Albert, right?
Mm-hmm.
I assume, or maybe they can bring Rick along. None of them have a chance of beating him in a jury vote. They just don't.
Yeah. Especially on the heels of what Boston Rob did last season, that I just can't imagine any of them are saying there like, okay, we'll let the returning player get to the end. After Boston Rob wins 8-1, they all saw that season right before they left. It's, you know, if for them, it happened 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago.
You're right.
I just can't imagine that this is what their plan is, but we haven't seen anything to suggest that it's not.
Well, what would it take to do that? I mean, that's really the move that has to get made immediately. Mm-hmm. Is Sophie and Albert need to somehow hope that Ozzy comes back into the game and they can pull Edna in? I guess that would work.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get rid of Brandon. They get rid of Rick. And then Coach, you know, loses the idol at some point, has to play it or not. And they hope to get rid of him. And then Brandon and Albert hope that they can beat Ozzy. And, you know, the question becomes, if they can't, who would they rather give the $1 million to, Ozzy or Coach?
Maybe the plan is that they want to leave Coach at the altar at the final four. He can't play the idol anymore. Sophie or Albert wins that last immunity, and they take whoever is left, whether it's Edna, whether it's Rick, or even Ozzy, and just bring him to the end and leave Coach standing there holding the bag at Final Four.
That'd be cool.
We'll see. I don't know.
It would be a masterful thing to do, but, you know, and again, I can only speak from my experience. So tell me how you found it. You know, I really found at a certain point I was tired of not having a comfortable place to just like sit,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
to feel like these are the people, right or wrong, do or die, that I'm finally going to be working with, that I can't, because after I flopped, remember, and I got rid of Nate first, you know, Parvati and Adam were just, you know, done with me, hated my guts. Candace at least was smart enough to realize, oh crap, now it could be 4-4. You know, if he hasn't flopped completely, we still have a chance here.
Yeah,
and she was like, come on, you can sleep next to me, and come on, we can still work together. And I just had to say, you know what, I'm done.
Yeah.
Again, rightly or wrongly, I was just tired of fighting at that point. And I think that, you know, we're talking about 2 weeks, another 6 days out there, and it's going to be very hard. My hat would be off to any of them if they can do it, to leave coach at the altar at that point. It would be a ballsy thing to do. It'd be awesome. I hope you're right, man. How did you feel out there? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I definitely know what you're talking about. I mean, my problem there getting towards the end of the game is that, like, I just had a hard time finding the, you know, one or two people that I could trust that wanted to, you know, that I could go to the end, that also wanted to go to the end with me. And, yeah, you know, I've never had that on Survivor where it's like, you know, like a marriage of like, oh, I want to go with you and you want to go with me. Like, that would be spectacular, and there would be no reason to jump from something, a situation like that. But I don't, maybe Albert and Sophie feel like they do have that, of that's the other person that they want to be with, and it's a great relationship to work together from a survivor, not from a romantic point of view.
No, of course.
Yes.
has anyone ever won Survivor without having essentially made a commitment to somebody in the beginning, so that the two of them can march forward, then involving themselves in a larger alliance that either is dominating at the merge, or right after the merge becomes the dominant group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, has anyone ever really been able to win without playing that essential loyalty all through the game?
So my wife
just stuck her head in and said, the dick from Thailand didn't play that way. Okay, I don't remember his name.
Brian.
Brian.
Now, are you saying that is somebody a lone wolf in that they have no alliance the whole game and goes on to win? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I guess Sandra did that, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that she was a lone wolf. I mean, that her bumper sticker, if I was going to sum up her game, was anybody but me.
Right.
So she was certainly in alliances with people throughout her games. I'm trying to think of if there's somebody, could we say like a Fabio, as somebody who was never really in like a, you know, really in lockstep with anybody, and he sort of just
right.
floated through the game.
He did, or he seemed to. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they would have shown that to us had he been sort of, you know, tightly connected with somebody. Fabio, mm-hmm. It's a good point.
But I've thought of that same question myself of what would happen if somebody just went through the game of Survivor and said, you know what, I'm not interested in any sort of alliance here along the way. Hey, if you need my vote, you have my number. I'll vote with you guys. But I think that person would be voted out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you have to play that, at least in, you know, my memory of the 20 some odd seasons that I've seen, you have to play a loyal, essentially loyal game all the way through, be able to point to that and be able to say, yes, I'm sorry it was me and not you, but I always worked with you. I never lied to you, blah, 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 in the end. And you essentially have the luck or the skill to be in that dominant group at the merge or right after the merge and then sort of winnow it down. But you have to have... You have to be a loyal player ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Or sometimes there has been the case where somebody is like the last person left from their group, and then the other group starts to turn on themselves, and then that one person from the other group is able to, you know, navigate their way to the top. That also happens.
Who happened
in Survivor Vanuatu. Chris was the guy who won that, another season Survivor Guatemala, Danny,
Danny.
She was able to do that.
Okay.
It's happened a couple, it's the rare situation, for that to happen. But, you know, somebody goes on a run and they end up, you know, they win a few immunities along the way, right. And that happens. I wanted to ask you this, how unfair do you think it was for Ozzy, the waiter, to get a dish stacking challenge at Redemption Island?
I never thought of that. That's a good question. Ozzy the waiter, definitely unfair.
You're
right. Although he doesn't carry the plates around on a pole, but I'm sure you're right that, you know, just knowing how to stack and balance plates, Very, very, very smart. What are the other two? One would have been like a diaper changing or a guitar stringing.
Because Dawn has so many kids, is that one?
Yeah, something like that. Stacy, just, my wife's here with me, she just said, well, what Ceri, when she lost in Fans versus Favorites, but Parvati and Amanda, she had some kind of challenge that was essentially like an ER nurse challenge, right? You know, like carry a scalpel and, or something, you know, carry a little ball in a tube or something.
Wow.
Right, didn't she? It was essentially like what a nurse in an ER would have to do, yeah. She messed that up. Ceri. How come they haven't asked Ceri back?
Well, you'd she's been back three times. I mean,
yeah, that's enough.
Yeah.
It's enough for her. Screw Ceri.
Yeah.
Boy, Ceri and I.
What, you guys, there's some bad blood there?
Well, it ain't good blood. Listen, Ceri, you know, Ceri blew up my game, but you know who really blew up the game? No, actually, I was doing fine. I think, you know, I could have gone certainly quite a ways in that, in the second time I played, but Yao Man really screwed himself and screwed me up. I think that's the secret story of that season, was that Yao Man had made an alliance with me and a secret alliance with her, and she felt dissed right from the get-go and just said, you don't mess with me, and she gave him the chop right away.
Yeah.
She, you know, it was a badass move on her part, and he was just made to look hapless, you know, yeah, hapless.
Yeah. Do you have some time to answer some questions? We always ask the Facebook fans, the fans on Facebook, the Rob Has a Podcast Facebook fan page to submit some questions. Now, since the last podcast, I see that you did join Facebook after you said that that you were not going to do it.
Oh, I just one more lie from the mouth of Jonathan Penner. I said I was not going to do it. Obviously, I was mistaken. I don't know what to say. It wasn't some ideological thing. I just said, oh, okay, well, enough of my friends are doing it, and they all need me to be able to contact them. And you know, I spend very little time on Facebook, but it is nice. I've caught up with a bunch of friends sort of from high school and other parts of my life, and that's great. And a lot of fans come on my page. I don't know how many followers I have, but not followers, friends. You know, it's just one more thing. I check it every day or two. You and I have been in touch on Facebook, so that was good, right?
Yeah, it's great. All right, so let me ask some questions. Let me start with, this is a question from Jeff Pittman, and he asks,
Jeff Pittman?
Yes.
Wait, from, no, I don't know.
Oh.
Making a joke. Go ahead. Sorry.
So he says, were you aware of holding the record for most times being voted against in a single season? And you are aware of this because you mentioned it in the last podcast.
Oh, proud of it. I have no idea if that record has stood.
Well, unfortunately or fortunately, depending how you look at it, it has been broken last season when Philip was voted for 17 times.
Awesome. Good for Philip. There's another guy that could go back out there. How many did I have against me?
He said 15.
Damn, Philip really beat me bad. Well, I don't know how I mean, you know, whatever. That was okay. How I feel about having Philip beat me to be in the same company as him. What's Philip like? I never met him. Is he a cool guy, or is he as nutty as they portrayed him?
Well, we just talked to him 2 weeks ago on the podcast, and what he would tell you is that he was playing a role on the show because he realized that he had to act a certain way to get Boston Rob to take him to the end, and he seemed perfectly coherent in our conversation, so I have to give some credence to what he's saying. So I don't know.
I don't know. That's a tough, long. That's long acting.
That's a long acting job, right?
But no slam against Philip. I don't know the guy, but yes, I was. It was a dubious distinction to have the most votes against me.
Yeah. Well, here's the second part of this. So Ozzy is sitting on 14 votes right now.
No,
okay.
Come on, Ozzy. You're going to get more. You know that. He could break the record easily. He's going to.
How do you feel about Ozzy potentially now breaking your single season record? This is like you were like Roger Maris, and the record stood. And now it's like the steroid era. And these
But that's the thing, dude. I did mine honestly. I didn't juice up. And these two guys are all roided out, you know, Philip and Ozzy. How do I feel? Oh, Ozzy will beat that easily. I mean, he's going to get voted out. He's gonna beat the record. Wow. Ozzie, one of the most loved players, getting because he threw himself in the fire, right? He tried to make a, he made a big move, whatever it meant,
yeah,
by getting himself voted to Redemption Island. I don't even know what that was all about. Good on Ozzie. He deserves a record. I guess it'll be that and holding his breath the longest, both in a fit of rage and underwater.
Okay, Taylor Cotter wants to know, have you seen any dramatic changes in Ozzy? We touched on this a little bit. Ozzy was arguably at his best in Cook Islands, fell dramatically during Fans versus Favorites, and is South Pacific an improvement, or is he doing even more to make himself look dumb? Is this the same Ozzy that played the last two times? So what about the evolution of Ozzy? Is he getting worse at Survivor? Do you notice anything different?
I don't think he's getting better, you know. I mean, listen, God love him, but the thing of that, you know, the game that they brought him out there to rectify, the redemption aspect of it, he has not learned. I don't see a change in Ozzy. I don't see a change in his game, honestly. You know, he still wants redemption, but what he cannot redeem is that he is an unsocial person. He doesn't have a social game. And somehow, in the 5 years or however long it's been since he played the first time and the 3 years since he played the second time, he still hasn't learned it. You know, he still feels entitled. He still feels righteous indignation. And no, I don't think he's gotten worse. But you know what? Maybe relatively, if you get older and you don't get better, it's the same thing as getting worse. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a philosophical question.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, okay. That's my answer to Taylor. Thank you, Taylor.
Sam Liardi wants to know, why are his eyes so dreamy?
My eyes?
Yes.
Oh, Sam. Straight to a man's heart. Why are they so dreamy? Well, Sam, because I've got rainbows and unicorns and ponies floating around behind them.
Oh, wow.
No, I don't know why the hell. I got blue eyes. I can't help it. And I was just born that way, Sam. I appreciate your good taste. Thank you.
All right. David Ruckman wants to know, let's say you had been successful in getting Parvati voted out in the Fans versus Favorite game.
Oh, God. Episode one I tried. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Now, maybe in this scenario, Johnny Fairplay doesn't get powerbombed by Danny Bonaducci 2 weeks before. So right. with no intervening circumstances change, now this is getting very hypothetical.
Sure.
I guess now he says you and James are still removed via medical. How do you think the game would have played out differently?
That's a whole crazy story. How would it have played out differently?
Yeah, let's just pretend Parvati got voted out first. How would that have gone different?
Well, it's interesting. James and Amanda, Ceree, Johnny Fairplay is despicable. We would have gotten rid of him eventually. It would have teamed up. I think Eric would have done well. I think Alexis would have done. Is that her name? Alex?
From the Fans?
Yes.
If you're asking me, we're in trouble. I don't know.
You know, one of the two girls who went to the final five, essentially, would have done pretty well. If I was still medevaced out, yeah, but I don't see, you know, probably Ceree would have been gone.
Yeah.
And I was medevaced out. This is a terrible story.
Yeah, let's keep
going. I would say the running man, Eric, probably would have won. Or Squirrel Boy. What was the other one's name?
Jason?
Jason. Yeah, no, he wouldn't have won. All right, I'd give it to Eric.
Sure. Congratulations, Eric, for winning a hypothetical Survivor 16.
Yeah, I mean, that's some deep hypotheticals right there with somebody out on the first vote that won and two people that had a good shot at winning medevaced out for a boo-boo on his finger. Poor James. Because you know why? They were so freaked out by what happened to me that they're like, we got to get him out of here. He didn't care. He could have played with his arm chopped off.
Evan Beanstock says, from a fellow Jew from Long Island, are you guys best Survivor friends? Jews from Long Island must stick together. Now, one, are you even from Long Island?
No, my wife is from Long Island.
And I'm not Jewish.
This is awesome. What's his name? Evan?
Evan Beanstock.
Evan Beanstock, a Jew, is also a potso. Evan, get your facts straight, my friend. Go on the IMDb. I'm from Riverdale in the Bronx. Rob is not a Jew. Sestorino is not a Jewish name.
Yeah.
Get a job, Evan.
Gary Lee wants to know, do you still love pepperoni pizza?
Oh, Gary, good question. My son and I have invented the Penner pizza, and I want you to all go out and try one. You take a pepperoni pizza, you put sausage, bacon, garlic, jalapeno peppers, and mushrooms. It's literally the best pizza out there. Any other pizza, you won't go back. Penner pizza.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that patented?
Yeah, I just did.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Christina LeBlanc says, no question from me, just a high five because I recognized him on an episode of Arrested Development last night. That's pretty boss.
Well, thank you, Christina. And what a great name. The White Christ, Christina LeBlanc. That's a good one. Thank you, and I hope the residual check arrives soon. I could use it.
What did you play on Arrested Development?
I played a cop, and I'll tell you, it was just a scene, and I had Jason Bateman, who I know a little bit, and Henry Winkler sitting across from me, and we could not get a usable take because Henry Winkler is literally the funniest person I have ever met.
Mm-hmm.
The man is... I mean, you know, we would just blow take after take because he would just say shit and that would crack Jason Bateman and I up. It was a long day's work for a very short scene, but it was really, really fun.
Jeff McGinnis says, does Jonathan agree with my theory? This is a long one, okay?
Does Jonathan agree with my theory
that Cochran's decision to flip parallels his own choice to flip back to the A24 in the Cook Islands? Also, like many satires, the themes of The Last Supper seem to be ahead of its time, especially considering the current decisive political tone. Could Jonathan talk about making The Last Supper and if that story could get filmed today?
Excellent question. Cochran, I guess, parallels my move to some degree because it was a floppy kind of move, driven maybe by emotion. We'll find out at the finale. I'm actually going to the finale with Yul, who knows Cochran, so I'll get to meet him there. I've never met or spoken to the man, but that'll be fun.
Wait, don't bury the lead. How does Yul know Cochran?
Yul knows Cochran. I'm not quite clear. Oh, sorry. Yul knows Cochran because Cochran like was his assistant at the FCC, I believe, in Washington. And, you know, maybe told Yul that he, or a summer intern or something, and told Yul how much he loved Survivor and what a fan he was. I don't know if Yul suggested that he apply or if that was a coincidence, but, they do know each other. And so Yul is coming to the finale and said, do you want to go? I said, of course, that'd be fun. So watch your TV screens. I'll be the fat guy with the glasses next to Yul.
Are you going to go to anything after the finale?
Yeah, I don't know. If there are things to go to, I like to dance, I like to eat, and I like to drink.
Yes.
So I'm sure there'll be all those things, and if I can do any of them, I'll do them all.
Yeah, usually there's like an email or something of where to go. I don't go to the actual taping of the thing. I'd rather just sit at home. But yeah, afterwards is usually something.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll see you there. And
yeah, we'll
folks,
get a drink.
Well, I'd like that. Well, I'll see you all there if they'll let you in.
Yes.
to answer the rest of the question, could you make The Last Supper today? Maybe. Maybe you could. It would be an interesting idea for a movie today. It's almost 20 years old. For those of you that don't know, this is a movie that my wife directed that I was in. That we helped produce and worked on the script and things like that. It's a very cool little indie movie with Cameron Diaz and Bill Paxton and Mark Harmon and lots and lots and lots of people, Ron Perlman. So it's a fun political satire, sort of a comedy. It's an interesting movie. Check it out if you haven't seen it. Could you make it today, and was it ahead of its time? Yes, it was. And it's hard to get independent movies made now. It is. It was much easier even, 10 years ago when the video and DVD market was much, much stronger. There was a lot more money floating around for sort of quirky, cool independent movies. That's hard right now, but we are continuing to try to do that. We have a couple of projects going, but I'm glad you like the movie. And for those of you that aren't aware of it, please go check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. I'm the skinny guy.
Ooh.
With the bad facial hair.
This is a question from Keith Dixon. He wants to know, I've always wondered this about the mutiny. What happens if everybody on the tribe would have decided to mutiny?
How great would that have been? That was Yul's idea. He always said, oh, crap, if I'd had two more seconds, I would have grabbed everybody. We would have mutinied together. It would have been a merge, you know. Of course, you know, that's what would have happened. They would have forced a merge. I think they were surprised. Nobody even, you know, believed that any of us were going to do it. I, of course, you know, I mean, we've talked about this, but, you know, I knew that Yul and Becky were in lockstep together, and Candace had implied to me that she was going to work with me. So when she stepped off the mat, I went with my ally and I followed her. It was both the best and the worst thing that ever happened to me.
Jordan Kalish wants to know, do you tend to avoid rickshaws now? Is that true?
Oh, very funny. Yes, I do. I've never been in a rickshaw. And for those of you who don't know what Jordan is making a clever reference to, it was an episode of Seinfeld where I get run over by a runaway rickshaw. That was great fun, and luckily no tenors or rickshaws were injured in the making of that episode.
A lot of questions about your acting resume. Tim Atten wants to know, did your work on Down Periscope help prepare you for the water challenges in Cook Islands?
No, it's a cute and clever question, Rick, but it did not. I'm actually a pretty good swimmer, and we spent zero time in the water on Down Periscope.
Matt Noble says, would you return for an all-star season of people with hats versus people with no hats?
Hell yes. How cool would that be? Are there enough of us hat wearers? And do we have to, like, I don't know, duel each other for our hats or something? Yes, of course. If that's the way that they would bring me back, I would consider it.
Well, you
I'd
would.
Like to think that I'd like to think they're more imaginative seasons, but yes, I'd play hats versus no hats.
You would likely have to be in the tribe with Russell Hantz, though.
How? Yeah, come on, that's. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see me not. How long it would take before I told Russell to fuck off. I don't know if I can say that in the podcast, but I just did.
You just
beep it if you need to. Or how long it would take him to, I don't know what he would say. He'd sort of go off in front of the camera and go, gotta get him, gonna get Penner. Yeah. That's a
Nobody tells me to F off.
Yeah, Penner's gotta go. This game belongs to Russell. It would be something like that, and I would just say, fuck you.
Let's see. We play a game on the podcast called Ding, Marry, Kill.
One more time? Ding, Marry, Kill?
Yeah, it's better known as F, Marry, Kill.
Okay.
So, are you familiar with the rules of this game?
No, I don't, but I can't wait to play. What does the F stand for? Are you allowed to say it?
Yeah, the F stands for...
I see. Fuck, Marry, or Kill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just said it. Fair enough.
All right, we got a couple for you. Are you ready?
So am I allowed to say this now?
Yeah, you're allowed to say whatever you want.
I guess I've been saying it all day, so go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Ding, Marry, Kill for Penner. Cook Islands. He gives too many. Let's just go with Parvati, Candace, Flicka. Was that even the right season?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
You know what? It's sort of unfair, and I'll tell you why. First off, I'm a happily married guy. I've been married for 20 years, okay? If I wasn't married and I was a single guy, because I love women, I could fuck any almost anybody. I mean, who's not drooling, you know? I mean, or at least who's not drooling, like, in public. So that's not really fair.
All right.
You know, would I marry any of them? No, I wouldn't marry any of those girls. But again, I'm 20 years older than them. Would I kill any of them? I guess there were moments when I could have killed all of them. But in reality, I wouldn't kill anybody. No.
All right. Well, let me give you a serious one. And now you have to know getting out of this. Ding, marry,
okay,
kill.
Okay, I'll tell you the truth. Go
all
ahead.
Right. Russell's hat, Boston Rob's hat, and Ozzy's hair.
Fuck, marry, or kill?
Mm-hmm.
A hat, or hair?
Yep.
I'd marry them all.
Whoa.
I don't know. I mean, what kind of, you know, I'm sorry. It's too metaphoric a question.
Okay.
I'd marry them. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to ask you, I know you spent a little bit of time at the end of the last podcast talking about some of your favorite movies. I was wondering, is there anything that's come out recently that you are giving the Penner seal of approval, the recommendation, any movies that people should be seeing that maybe it was a mainstream movie, maybe something that people missed?
Well, my favorite movie so far of the year, and I'm not alone in this, is a new film called The Artist.
Ooh.
It's a French film. It's in a very, very unusual film, and it's not going to be to everybody's taste, so I put that caveat out there. It's a black and white, silent movie, which is very, very old-fashioned, and in fact, it's so old-fashioned that it's new-fashioned. You know, most people will not have seen a movie like this on the big screen, and it was the most fun that I've had in a movie in a long time. I took my 12-year-old daughter, Ava. She also loved it. And so if you're interested in something that's a little unusual and is really about the movies and why we all love to go to the movies and the history of the movies, too, check out The Artist. I also hear, though I haven't seen, in a similar vein, Martin Scorsese's new film, Hugo. And I hear Shane, if you like a sexy movie, is supposed to be pretty good, this new movie made by an Englishman named Steve McQueen, of all things.
Whoa. All right. Well, all right. Jonathan, thank you so much for this was a lot of fun.
I had fun always. Rob, I appreciate it. We all appreciate what you're doing and keeping Survivor out there and lively. And maybe I will see you at the finale. And anybody else who's out there, if you see me and you're around, say, hey, I'd love to talk. As you can tell, I'd love to talk.
Yeah. Well, I would look forward to it. And maybe somehow, if they could get some DNA from me, you, and Yule, that they could clone Cochran finally.
I think the three of us could take him.
I think so.
Fair fight.
Yeah. So, Jonathan, do you have anything you want to put out there that you want people to check out or direct people to?
Well, guys, if you haven't checked out the Los Angeles Review of Books, I'm the film editor there. I have a couple of pieces that are there. You'd have to sort of go into the archives. One is an interview I did with an author named Jimmy McDonough, which I think most people find very, very interesting. One is a piece I wrote about horror movies that some people find interesting, and it's a little autobiographical piece that you might be interested in. I have an interview with David Cronenberg coming up soon that I did with him, and if you haven't seen my book Horror Cinema, check it out and keep watching Survivor. Still the best show on TV.
Wow, Penner, thank you very much. And I call you Penner, as I only call the guests that I really admire by their last name. So you have earned a special place in the Rob has a podcast infamy.
Yes, the yes. Infamy. Yes, in the annals.
In the annals. Yes. Yeah. Penner. Thanks a lot, man.
Dude, I appreciate it, man. Be well, and everybody, bye-bye.
Take care.
Cheers.
All right, Nicole, there you have it. My interview with Jonathan Penner.
Wowzer.
Too bad. You will never listen to that. That whole conversation could have been all about you, and you will never hear it.
But you know what? If it was, the tweeters, the listeners will let me
That's
know.
The thing. So you just have all the listeners are like your TiVo.
I need to know, they inform me.
They just tell you
yes.
about that? Okay. Well, Nicole, this is the part of the show where we like to check in with Twitter.
Yes.
See what was going on this past week on Twitter.
Twitter is on fire. It's just going crazy.
Twitter is going on. It's going crazy. We are on the forefront of covering Twitter for you guys, as far as this is the place to go for all of your Survivor and reality TV Twitter news.
Yes, I came home from work this morning. I was a bit cranky, and I decided that the fun was being sucked out of Twitter.
Yes, you were upset.
But then I went to sleep, and I felt much better, and I loved it again.
Yes, Nicole claimed that people are ruining Twitter this morning.
That they were just sucking the fun out of it, because everybody's so angry.
So they're ruining Twitter!
They're ruining it for me!
So hopefully, I disagree.
I know, but I went to sleep and I woke up and I changed my mind.
I don't think Twitter is being ruined.
No. After 12 hours of work, though, everything is ruined.
Okay. All right. So that being said, a few things going on with the Twitter. Let me see. The biggest thing of all is poor Brandon Hantz.
Oh, dear.
Poor the Hantzes have been going at it on Twitter between Russell Hantz and Brandon Hantz. This started about 19 years ago, But most recently, Brandon, and I don't have these exact tweets in front of me, but basically Brandon Hance was tweeting about the finale. Russell said he needed a ticket for the finale.
Yes, he didn't have one.
Brandon Hance tweeted. Now, I don't know. Do you communicate to your family members via Twitter? Like, if I want to talk to my Uncle Sal.
You'll pick up the phone.
I talk to my Uncle Sal on the phone.
Yes.
I don't tweet, hey, Uncle Sal, what's going on?
Hey. Give me a ticket.
Yeah. So, Russell wanted a ticket for the finale. Brandon Hance said that wasn't going to happen. He said, yeah, you didn't give me a ticket for your finale. How do you like it?
Yes. Well,
and then Russell said, well, oh, that's right. You're saving a ticket for your boyfriend at Survivor Cochran, which I would assume that at Survivor Cochran would already have a ticket.
You would think.
You would think so.
Uh-huh.
He wouldn't need one of Brandon's tickets.
Right.
But and then Survivor Shannon jumped in and said that he wishes Survivor Cochran was his boyfriend. That Brandon wishes.
I got it, yeah.
Not Survivor Shannon
wishes.
Yeah,
don't get it twisted.
We won't get it twisted, that's right.
Yes. But I had a theory. Can I say my theory?
Sure, what's that?
That at first I thought that this whole Brandon Hance versus Russell Hance Twitter feud was just a ploy to get Brandon versus Russell on the next season of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's gone a little too far, and I don't think that's the case anymore.
I think so.
It's gotten to be too much for it to be a ploy.
They would have to be quite the actor. And I would say that maybe, perhaps, Russell Hance is capable of this. I'm not sure that Brandon Hance could take it this far. Brandon Hance says, this is a black and white world. There's no shades of gray. I'm not gonna lie about stuff. That everything, I'm going to be honest and open and upfront and all this stuff.
That's what
now,
Jesus
unless everything is a lie.
Right.
I think I have to take Brandon Hance at his word here.
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah. So anyway, so Russell had some tweets last night. Russell was on fire a bit last night. He said,
it's going to be an awkward family reunion.
This is one from the recap show, which I thought this was very clever. And according to this was attributed to Russell. What did Nietzsche, or Nietzsche, what am I asking you? Nietzsche? Nietzsche? I don't know how to...
What?
You know I'm bad with pronunciation.
Where is
what did Nietzsche say about arrogance? Was it not going around quoting Nietzsche?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, the listener's going to have a field day with that
one.
So anyway...
I don't think that's how it's pronounced, though.
I think Nietzsche?
Mm-mm.
It's not important,
we
people.
Probably should have looked this up before.
Yeah. And the fact that it's spelled correctly, I'm not sure, but this is attributed to Russell here.
Mm-hmm.
Then from last night, Russell tweets, Brandon may be the worst player to ever play the game, may be adopted.
Oh, that's not nice.
He tweeted, Albert, at least when Rick doesn't do anything, he doesn't do it with a mustache.
Ding.
And then one more from Russell, at Survivor Cochran, don't want to be voted out at 7. Get one of your Harvard friends to build you a time machine, bitch.
Why does he have to call them names? That's not nice. Oh, poor Cochran.
So then that spilled over into this morning.
Uh-huh.
Thursday morning. And then Russell and Brandon were really going at it. And just to give you the real quick
bright and
cliff
early
notes,
this morning, they woke up and got on the Twitter.
The real Cliff Notes version. Brandon says to Russell, you're a sorry uncle, man. I'm finished with you. Why don't you forget about all these fake friends and remember the real ones? Yeah. And then, things got real.
That was just the beginning, right?
Things got real.
Yeah.
And then he snapped back at Survivor Shannon.
Ooh.
Which,
we don't
approve of anybody talking
Leave
bad
our Shannon
to Survivor
out of
Shannon.
This.
We support Survivor Shannon. Because we don't want to make him mad. He says, at Survivor Shannon, shut up. You, when he puts like 5 P's on
shut up.
You need to stop talking for Russell or come out of the closet, one or the other. Give it up. You will never be famous. Well,
I don't think Jesus would approve of this tweet.
Yes.
Not very nice.
Yes. So that's not good.
Yeah.
So the real basically this needs to all just spill over into WrestleMania. I'm not sure. I think it's Brandon Hance and Survivor Cochran, against Russell and Survivor Shannon. I'll be the referee.
But is it still Russell? I'm sorry, Brandon versus.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna be the announcer. I'm gonna be like the old Vince McMahon.
Let's get ready to rumble, guy.
No, not Michael Buffer. I'm not gonna be the.
Sorry, I don't know his name.
I'm going to be the. I'm gonna be calling the match.
Okay.
And fair play is gonna be like Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh,
and he's gonna be like the color guy. Somebody's gonna be the referee. I'm not sure who yet.
Can I do it?
No, definitely not.
You get to be. Can I be the girl that holds the cards?
That's a boxing match. That's a boxing match, and there's no rounds in wrestling.
Then what can I do?
you're just like Miss Elizabeth. You just stand there and you don't talk.
Can I get a new dress?
Sure. Fair enough. So that's it. I'm pushing this for the first ever Survivor WrestleMania, and it's going to be at the main event. Brandon Hance and Survivor Cochran tag team against Survivor Shannon and Russell.
What if they throw a chair on you? That always happens to the...
No, it does not happen to the guys that are calling the match.
It will this time.
And I say, oh my god, this is a real slobber knocker. <It's> like, oh no. That'll be a lot of fun.
Are you going to wear tight pants?
Have you ever seen a wrestling match?
No, I haven't.
You've never watched wrestling in your entire life?
Maybe when I was little, but I probably just blacked it out.
The people that call the matches do not wear tight pants.
Well, they should.
I guess so. JR is not wearing anything form-fitting.
Yeah.
Okay, so plenty of other comments from you guys. This was from people on Twitter using the hashtag #RHAP.
Yes.
For Rob Has a Podcast. That's the best. If you're going to podcast about the show,
They're not
going to podcast about the show.
They're going to tweet
about the show. Well, if you're going to podcast about the show, feel free to do that, too. #RHAP. This is from @HelaSharif on Twitter. She writes, I keep calling Survivor Cochran, or Survivor colon Cochran, as this season. The way they edit it, it might as well be called that, though, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look at, like, the breakdown. I think Cochran may have had more airtime than Coach this season.
Oh, I think so, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Cochran's the winner.
And then wait till he comes back from Redemption Island.
Wait till he goes back another season.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know if Lightning's going to strike twice.
No, he'll probably get voted out first on the second season.
I don't know.
He'll get Sister Nino'd.
I don't know. We'll see. Okay, so that's what was going on with the tweets. Let's get to some of your comments. We want to start with the Facebook fan page.
Of course.
Jordan Kalish wrote this week, Bears quarterback Caleb Haney just became only the second player in NFL history to throw his first regular season touchdown after throwing his first postseason touchdown. Okay, well, Nicole, this doesn't help with the podcast when I'm...
I don't get football.
Okay.
I mean, I get it, but...
you understand the English language?
Sometimes.
Okay. just even pretend like you're sticking with us.
Wow.
And the first person to accomplish this feat was none other than Gary Hogaboom.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Who was also the first person to ever find and use the hidden immunity idol.
Ooh.
So Gary Hogaboom has two records. First hidden immunity idol.
Uh-huh.
And first person ever throw a postseason touchdown before a regular season touchdown.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know what this means?
What does it mean?
Caleb Haney is going to go on Survivor one day.
So that's what this all means.
Zach Brooks says, today there was a woman who looked exactly like Nicole in a meeting with me, but she wasn't drinking a martini, so I knew it wasn't her.
Mm. Obviously, she was gorgeous.
All right, now this is a little bit of a lengthy comment. I'm going to need you to summon whatever you can to try to stay with me, okay?
Okay, focus.
Okay. Chris Madison writes, hey, Rob, do you think that maybe, just maybe, there's an alternate timeline in which you actually were selected to go on Big Brother 3, and that years later, Brendan and Rachel actually met through Survivor? That way, you and Nicole would be going on The Amazing Race now, and Brenchel would be podcasting about it, except no one would know, because they're not as funny as you guys are. I wonder what happened in the other timelines. Okay.
So does that mean that you have a Skype rendezvous?
With Molly M. Shepherd?
Yes.
Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
So I don't know. Now, did I go on Big? First of all, did I win Big Brother 3?
Oh, good question.
And then did I go on Big Brother All Stars? And then I didn't. Now I met Nicole, or I ended up with Nicole
years
because
later.
I was on Survivor.
We never would have gotten together.
And then
together.
Nicole came to parties at my parents' house because she was a gold digger.
Yes.
And she was like a basketball groupie.
Uh huh.
And she came
couldn't
over.
Keep me away.
She came over then because I was on TV. If I was on Big Brother, then my parents wouldn't have. They would have parties, but I wouldn't be
but
there.
You wouldn't be there, and maybe I'd be dating one of the other guests.
One of the other guests at the party?
Yes.
So I don't know.
Maybe I'd be with your cousin.
So basically, if we were going to play this out, I would probably be Eric Stein. And
we definitely wouldn't be together.
Eric Stein would be me. And Brendan and Rachel would still be...
would still be Brenchel.
They would be Robin Amber. And Robin Amber would be on The Amazing Race right now.
This is too confusing for me.
Sure. Okay.
But the bottom line is, we are not together. We're not podcasting.
And this is also the evil timeline, and we all have goatees.
Oh, me too.
And Troy went to get the pizza.
Oh.
Okay. Paul Kohler says, going on a road trip, loading up my MP3 player with hours of Rob Has a Podcast. I'm wondering if anyone else has attempted to listen to consecutive podcasts for more than 8 hours. Are there any health risks involved? If only there was a nurse around, I could ask. Now, this is a good question. What human being has the world's record for most consecutive uninterrupted hours of listening to Rob as a Podcast?
This is a good listener poll.
I would say that the human capacity would be somewhere around...
I think like three podcasts.
Three podcasts. Yeah. I think you couldn't...
That could be about 4 or 5 hours.
You wouldn't be able to... You'd go insane. It's like...
You really would go insane.
Yeah. If you stayed awake... They say if you stay awake 48 hours, you're legally insane. I think if you listen to three consecutive podcasts, you're also legally insane. You could kill somebody and then you get off the hook.
Yeah. But don't do it.
Don't do that. I don't know. Asterisk. I'm not sure if that's legally binding.
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. This is from Chris Madison, who says, Rob, in regards to the whole point you made about SNL, on when I did the podcast with my friend Rich, the SNL podcast, I said, you know, people are always complaining that SNL sucks, but it's always like people say, oh, SNL's not as good now as it was when Jimmy Fallon was on it and Will Ferrell.
But then it sucked when it was on.
But then when those guys were on, like, oh, it's not as good as when it was when Farley and Sandler.
Yes.
So Chris Madison says, in regards to the whole point you made about SNL, it sucks while it's on, then a couple years later we remember it is getting better, or being better. Does that apply to Survivor nowadays too? Because I'm not sure I'm ever going to like anything that's happened since Heroes vs. Villains. Anyone else with me on this one? This is a very good point.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, I don't know if this is necessarily only true about Saturday Night Live, but I think at certain points this is true about Survivor.
It could be true about Rob Has a Podcast, too.
Could be true about Rob Has a Podcast. Yeah, I do think it is true about Rob Has a Podcast, because I've seen comments like people like, well, I like the show now, but it was really good when it first started.
Yes, when there was no web shows.
And there was no blah, 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 blah. And I'm sure 2 years from now, people say, it sucks now, but it was good then.
Now that we're in 3D.
Now they do a 3D show, and it's weird.
Yeah.
And they talk to all the comments from all the hologram people. And so I don't know. I do think it's true a little bit on Survivor.
Yes.
Although, with the exception of that, Heroes versus Villains, I think might be the best season. Might be the best season.
Yes.
If we're going to put everything aside, where I would say, you asked me what's the best season of Survivor, I'd say the first season, but it's not really.
Right. It's because it's the first.
If you just like gave somebody a box of Survivor DVDs and just took the numbers off and didn't tell them what was what and they couldn't tell it, this is HD, they were stupid.
Right, right, right.
They were stupid, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask them to rank which season is the best, they're going to come back to you and say Heroes versus Villains.
Right.
And Survivor 1
is going to be like
near the bottom of the barrel.
Yes.
Yeah. So, hard to say. But I do think there's a little bit of that is true
uh-huh.
about nostalgia.
Right.
Things aren't as good now as they were, but they really are exactly the same.
Right.
But Heroes vs. Villains.
Remember the good things.
Heroes vs. Villains actually was good.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Mark Harrison says, Nicole, you're a nurse.
Yes.
What do you give a girl you are visiting in hospital when you have already given her flowers and she can't eat chocolate due to her operation? It's a very specific question.
I actually answered this question on the Facebook fan page.
Oh, what was it? What's the
answer? I told him to get her comfy pajamas.
Ooh.
Yes, that's always a good gift.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
I like comfy pajamas.
Yes, but usually comfortable does not equal sexy. Attractive.
Because sexy is usually uncomfortable. That's why you want to take it off.
I'm gonna get Nicole uncomfortable pajamas. Okay, are you ready for the Jeff Probst inappropriate comment of the night?
Yes.
All right, this one was kind of a no-brainer also.
Okay.
So at Redemption Island, Dawn loses the challenge, and she takes off her buff, and she says, Jeff Probst, I love you. Put it in? To which Jeff replies, put it in. And then Dawn replies, aw, do I have to? And Dawn even tweeted regarding this. Dawn put it in. Yes, I can already imagine many of you having fun with that line over and over and over. Yes. So, Dawn is a listener.
I love Dawn.
Dawn is great. We're gonna have a lot of fun next season. Mm-hmm. When basically next season we're just gonna go through the boot order from all right, first podcast of Survivor 24. We're gonna talk to Semhar. Then the next week we're gonna talk to Papa Bear. Am I getting that right? No, Christine.
Uh-huh.
Then we're gonna talk to Papa Bear. We're just gonna do the whole order. Oh, then it's Stacy. After that, we're just gonna run through the whole order, and then we'll call it Survivor 24. Survivor 23 Redux.
Yeah, I want Dawn to adopt me.
Dawn to adopt?
You think she will?
Maybe. So that'll be a lot of fun next season.
Yes. And going back to Twitter and how crazy and angry everybody was, that even Jeff Probst was getting a little...
Oh, yeah. Was this what you said ruined Twitter?
This put me over the edge this morning. Because someone tweeted to Jeff Probst that that they wish that he would shut up during the challenges. And he replied back, kiss my ass.
Whoa. And I've got to tell you that I had gotten a little caught up in one of these Twitter
wars.
I wasn't sure.
You're getting much more involved.
I wasn't sure.
You should have mentioned this on the earlier podcast.
Yes. I wasn't sure that Keith Tollefson on Twitter tweeted about... there was somebody had said, let's see, Rob Sisterino defend the move tonight.
Someone was cranky.
And then Keith Tollefson retweeted that and wrote, he was a dick to me, and apparently I didn't know anything about the game.
Question mark.
And it took me about 10 minutes to think about this. I think he's talking about Survivor Cochran. Not sure. I'm not sure if Keith saying that I was a dick to him. I don't think so. I don't think I was ever a dick to Keith.
But then, oddly enough, the tweet disappeared.
Yeah.
He deleted it.
Maybe he realized the wording was confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay, a couple other things before we go today. So, Nicole, we are knocking them out of the park this season.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
All right, we talked to Philip 2 weeks ago.
Amazing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great podcast with Penner today.
Yes.
I promised you a couple of weeks ago that we're going to talk to somebody who played with Ozzy,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to talk to somebody who played with Coach.
Right.
All right.
Who's next?
Get ready, everybody.
Hold on to your butt cheeks.
Hold on to your butt cheeks. Tyson Cast 3 next Thursday.
Oh, my God.
Get ready.
Mm-hmm. What time?
I'll tell you after. We'll see if you...
Because I'm working the night before.
All right. We'll shoot for late afternoon.
Okay.
Okay? But if Tyson says... I will
wake up.
Here's the good news. Tyson doesn't work. He doesn't have meetings. I texted with him today.
Uh-huh.
I said, it might be slightly more funny if you just stay awake from now until the podcast.
Right.
He said he thinks it might be worth it. But we have to, somehow this involves sunflower seeds. We have to get him sunflower seeds.
I will ship them right now.
And he says that, I'll pay for one bag. And he says that the tricky part is he has to eat them all but not injure his mouth for the podcasting.
He's not very bright.
So, Tyson Cast 3, Thursday,
Amazeballs.
December 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Mark your calendar. Okay. I got a little interesting tidbit for you guys.
I love tidbits.
We get a lot of questions from people about how do I get on Survivor? Where do I send my tape?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I got a little birdie messaged me today and said, let people know now is the time to send in a Survivor tape. It's the time. You got about a 1 month window.
Okay.
And basically through January 10th, they're going to be accepting tapes for the next year of Survivor. So we, you know, we love the idea of putting listeners on the show.
Right.
And then you could get, you could be get Jeff Probst to say inappropriate things.
Yes. So, you can egg him on.
Yes. So here's the link. The best way to do this, that Survivor is all, they've changed it all around. You said it's like mail a tape in. Now, CBSSurvivorCasting.com.
CBSSurvivorCasting.com. Yes. That's easy to remember.
So they're accepting applications now, but you got to get them in before January 10th. Okay? And they say, they advise you to do it early because the site gets crashes.
The early bird catches the worm.
Yes. The early bird gets on Survivor. And then it's not like then you send in your tape at the last minute and they get a million tapes and they don't look at yours.
Right. So you're at the bottom of the pile.
Yeah. So put it in.
Yes.
In the words of Jeff Probst.
Do I have to?
Do I have to? Okay. And I think that's about it. Join us on Tuesday for another Rob Has a Web Show, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. 9 a.m. Pacific.
Have they been on iTunes? We're getting a lot of people asking if it's going to be on iTunes.
Yes, it was. The last one was on iTunes. The one before there were some technical difficulties with recording it.
Mm-hmm.
So you could watch it. I was not able to get a clean copy of the audio for that.
Okay, but we're working on getting the glitches out.
Yes. Also, we're going to start being able to pull some best moments from those and put those up on YouTube.
Ooh, la, la.
Also, okay.
So fancy.
Very, very fancy.
Yeah.
And one more thing. We're working on a very special Best of 2011 podcast.
The interns are hard at work.
The interns are going back listening to every single podcast from 2011. They are pulling,
God help them.
They are pulling the best moments from each month.
Uh-huh.
And the last podcast of
is
the
it
year.
Is only Survivor or is
no,
it all
the,
of our
the
podcasts?
Whole, all the podcasts.
Oh,
listen
God.
To everything.
There's a lot.
Listen, yeah, there's probably, I mean, we do about 3 podcasts a week.
Good grief.
52 weeks in the year. I mean, it's probably, you know, over 100 podcasts
yes.
In the year. So people are listening to the podcast, and the last podcast of the year will be the Robin Nicole Best of 2011. Boom.
Amazeballs.
It's amazing. It'll be amazeballs, and it'll be something to hold you guys over the holidays.
Yes.
So, Nicole, that is about it.
Sounds like a podcast.
Okay. So we'll be back on Tuesday. Then on Thursday morning, we are talking with Survivor Cochran after he loses to Ozzy.
Yes.
Not a spoiler. Just
not,
a fact.
Yeah, just a prediction.
Just a fact. And then Tyson Cast 3 1 week from today.
I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep.
Well, no, don't. You should sleep. You are not like Tyson. You don't get better at podcasting the less you sleep.
Oh, yes. I don't make sense.
The more you sleep, the better you get.
Mm-hmm.
You're the opposite of Tyson.
Yes.
Yeah. How about that?
Who's better looking?
Oh, you are.
Thank you.
His hair is very nice, though. He's.
You know how long it takes me to do my hair?
I'm sure he doesn't take it any time, probably.
He just wakes up that way.
Yeah. That for a man, he's a very he would make a good woman.
I feel like he should be in the LMFAO video, or is that even them? I don't know. The I'm sexy and I know it. I feel like he should be in that video.
Yeah. If he wanted to ever, if he ever wanted to cut it off, like I think he could make it.
No, he can't.
Okay, I'm just saying he would be a good, like there are some people that like it's not gonna work
no,
out.
I could picture him just like flipping yeah. his hair back all the time.
Yeah, I think he could, you know, go through if he decided to go in that. We'll ask him next week.
Okay,
see what if he would consider that.
I hope not.
I think he could pull it off.
I don't want him to.
For instance, Russell, if he decided to go that route, I don't think he could pull that off.
No, because then his head would look like his armpits.
Yeah. Okay. All right, everybody. That's gonna do it. We'll see you guys on Tuesday. Have a good weekend, everybody. Take care.
Bye. Got nothing for you.